Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says this: "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." God pursued us. Christian, I want you to know you were not just sitting in a service one day and decided you wanted Jesus as your Savior. No, the Holy Spirit had been chasing you and chasing you and chasing you and finally touched you. Big word we call regeneration. Made you spiritually alive. So now you're hearing a message of Christ and it just meant something different to you. You understood that you needed Jesus. You no longer be an enemy of God because you accept Christ. Now you're a child of God. You're a friend of God. God pursued us, changed us spiritually, and we responded in faith to him. See, our response is just that, a response. We accept Jesus as Savior is because the Holy Spirit has already been working in us. He's already changed us spiritually, and we're just responding to him. See, if you're coming on Wednesday nights, you've heard that many times. Oh, but it gets me excited because God chased after us to have a relationship with us. It's not that you came to church and found God. God found you. God found you. He wants a relationship with us that badly. The second thing we see in these first few verses is by faith we gain access into his grace. See, verse 2 tells us, through who we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. It is God's grace that saves us and sustains us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, to reinforce that says, by grace, through faith, you have been saved. Only because of God's grace poured upon us. The grace of God provides strength and encouragement, forgiveness, and it sustains every fiber of our being. Everything we are is by God's grace. Never think that you are above God. Never think that you can live your life, a Christian life, to please God without his grace. You can't do it. Believe me, I proved it. You can't do it. Can't do it. It's important to understand and apply daily to our lives God's grace. Grace is the core of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace, and we're also to grow in grace. We see in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be honor both now and on that eternal day. It is God's grace that motivates us to serve him. It's God's grace that motivates us to get up on a Sunday morning to worship him. Listen, I look forward to Sunday morning. It's not something, oh, I got to go to church again today. Listen, if you come to here today with that attitude, you're not worshiping. You might as well stay at home. We gather as a church to worship. Why? Because the Holy Spirit living in us motivates us, because God's grace is so great. It's so good that we remember who we used to be, and we know today that we need his forgiveness every day. Even as born-again believers, we need God's forgiveness. We need God's grace. And listen, that's worth praising him over. That's worth praising him in worship. God's grace sustains us through our troubles, through our trials, through our tragedies. How can some people go through so many tragedies in life? And it's just this abiding peace within them because of God's grace. When we find ourselves in need of forgiveness and help, we're invited to God's throne of grace to receive mercy, to receive forgiveness. Listen, even when we blow it, Christian, even when we don't get it right, and listen, you will fail. If anybody ever tells you you need to be sinless, they're giving you an impossible task. That's why we need God's grace, and that's why we need God's forgiveness, and that's why Jesus died on the cross, because he knew we would never be perfect until we're there with him in heaven. God's grace gives us forgiveness. We're invited to the throne room of grace. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, therefore, with minds that are fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. It is God's amazing grace that sustains our faith. God holds tightly to us even when our faith gets weak. God still holds us tightly. That's why I know that you can't lose your salvation, because you didn't save you. God saved you through his son, Jesus Christ. And God holds you. John 10, verse 27 through 30, God holds you. And he holds you so tightly, even when your faith gets shaken, even when your faith is shattered, even when your faith seems like it's on its last strand. As that father, when Jesus healed the sick son, that father screamed out, Jesus, help my faith. Help my unbelief. Maybe that's you today. We also see what Paul writes, that faith brings hope in Christ. See, Romans 5, verse 2 says, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We're saved by faith in Jesus, who gives us grace that sustains us through the hope we have in our Heavenly Father. Hope. We have no reason to boast in ourselves and our accomplishments. We can only boast in Christ alone, because he is our hope. Psalm 147, verse 11 says, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. How miserable we would be. Listen, Christian, how miserable we would be if we had no hope. All humanity would be the most miserable creatures if we had no hope. If we just go through life and when we die, that was it. If we had no hope in this life and in the next. God's message to us through Christ is that we have hope for a brighter future. The gift of hope motivates us to carry on despite any obstacles or heavy burdens that we may carry. Jesus brings hope for life and eternal life, regardless of what situation we experience. We will endure because Jesus gives us hope that through him we will outlast the problem and have the victory. There's hope that no matter what this old boy faces in life, no matter what situations, I still have hope that tomorrow will be better than what I'm going through right now. That next year will look a lot different, and the next will look a lot different. I still have hope because God is in control, not me and not anyone else. Christ gives us hope, and that changes everything. Christ gives us hope, and that really does change everything. We see the fourth thing that faith helps us find. Faith helps us find glory in our sufferings for Christ. That faith helps us find some glory, some satisfaction, some understanding that it's more and then it's bigger than we are. See, verse 3 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Through our sufferings in this life, for Christ, we're maturing in faith and in character. I don't like character building moments. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like them very much. But they're going to happen at just the time that I need it. And God makes sure he allows those things to happen, because he sees deeper inside of myself than I want to admit. Living in denial. There's some things in me that I may not want to admit to or that I'm oblivious to that God sees straight to my soul and he says, Kevin needs a change. So we're going to allow this to happen. He's already got it programmed out for me. And he allows some situation that I didn't see coming hit me and blindside me. And I realize, not as good as I thought I was. There's some character building that God wants to continuously do. See, we're progressively being sanctified more into the identity, into the image of Christ. And we have this life story to tell as a testimony. See, our wounds heal in the scars. A lot of those character building moments cause wounds. And God's wanting to heal them into scars. See, scars tell a story of victory over loss and pain and the experience of events that have forever changed us. Listen, today, if you find yourself needing encouragement to learn how to let God move you out of the way so he can get in those areas in your life and heal those wounds so they become scars. We have a ministry called Celebrate Recovery. Listen, Celebrate Recovery is not a magic formula for anything. It just teaches you the process of getting out of God's way so God can do the healing. That's what it does. Sarah's right here on the front row. She's our ministry leader for it. Listen, catch her right after service. Say, Sarah, I need to talk to you just a moment. And she'll guide you because God wants to do a miracle in your life. God wants to do a miracle. Some wounds that you're going through. God helps us so that we can grow more into his image. So why did God work a miracle of love for us? The second point we want to look at today is that because we were powerless to help ourselves. Why did God send Jesus Christ to die on the cross? Because we couldn't fix ourselves. Because we were powerless. God's great love for us was given while we were still rebellious and destined for hell without the ability within ourselves to do anything to change our condition or our outcome. Listen, we were all destined for hell because of the sin problem that we had, and God did something for us even while we were sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 8, see, he said, you see at just the right time, when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Get your mind wrapped around that. That'll tell you right there that you don't have to clean your life up to come to Jesus. There's a lot of people who show up to church because they're really feeling bad about themselves. They show up to church, I know I need to quit doing this, and I need to quit doing this, and I need to quit doing that and before I come to Jesus. Jesus says, no, come on to me, then I'll help you get rid of all these things. Because you're powerless to do it on your own. See, the world was absent of hope, of healing, and of heaven until Jesus came. He's God's providential plan. When Jesus came, it was a reality. God's plan became reality. There was nothing good in us that we could save ourselves. We were depraved enemies of God. Sin saturated all humanity. We sometimes think that, well, Satan and the demons, they're the enemies of God. Listen, if we're living without Jesus Christ, we're the enemies of God. We're right there along with him. We were depraved. Sin saturated all humanity. Yet when Jesus was born, oh, listen, the heavens celebrated because now God dwelt among men. Jesus was God's plan to save mankind from sin. There's no other plan. There's not go to church enough plan. There's not do enough good works plan. There's not enough baptism plan. It's all Jesus. Jesus' plan. Jesus' birth, life, death on the cross and resurrection is God's perfect plan. Why did God intervene? A few things here, a few thoughts. Because we were powerless to change. The truth still holds true today. This truth still holds today. Time after time, people desire change who want something different in their life. They want something better. They're tired of living broken and hurting and wounded lives. They want to try to fix themselves. And they mistakenly think if they just try a little harder, if they have enough positive thoughts, that's the big thing today. Get rid of all the negativity and just think positive. You know what? Without Jesus, you're still lost and go to heaven, hell. You can think all the positive thoughts you want. Without Jesus, you're still going to hell. You still have a sin problem. They say, we get rid of all the negativity if we just meditate. We just stimulate more willpower to do better. 1,000 other positive self-help ideas. They believe if they do all of this, they can have their best life now. Listen, please, please listen. Scripture says, when we were still powerless, you cannot fix yourself. You were powerless to change you, because if you could, you would have already. If you or I could change ourselves, we would have done it already. And Jesus would have died for nothing. The key is to humble yourself, to surrender your will, your wound, and your way over to Christ Jesus. Then he will take all of your sin away and heal you and fill you with his Holy Spirit. Learning this new way to think, we must learn a new way to think in Christ, realizing that we are not in control, God is. If we think we're in control, we'll end up right back in the same issue. Your new thinking comes with faith in Christ, not faith in yourself. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, God wants so badly to be in relationship with us, so badly to have that one-on-one intimate relationship with us, that he's given his son Jesus to pay the sin debt for us and to impute God's love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit so that we too may love God and pursue him. See, when we are lost, we're enemies of God. We're running away. God is pursuing us. But when the Holy Spirit touches us, transforms us, changes us, regenerates us, makes us spiritually alive, we respond in faith. We turn away, or we repent from our sins. We turn away in faith to God. And we now pursue God. We're now chasing after him to learn more, to be more like him. God wants us in relationship. Verse 8 tells us this: God demonstrates his own love for us, this and this. He demonstrates his love while we were still drunks, drug addicts, fornicators, adulterers, greedy, lustful, selfish, bitter, thieves, hateful, homosexuals, idolaters, pagans, atheists, agnostics, Muslims, Hindu, Buddhists, obnoxious, arrogant, proud, sinners. Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Even when we were living out there doing all sorts of garbage, thinking all sorts of garbage, living that way, desiring that, Christ died for us. And he died knowing that there would be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who reject him. See, this morning, if you're still trying to be a better person so God will be happy with you and love you more, just stop. Just stop. See, you are powerless to change. Submit yourselves to God through faith in Christ. and just be the person that he designed you to be. Just be you. Relax and grow in knowledge and in service through the gifts and opportunity that Jesus Christ brings into your life. We try so hard because we want control. We want the power. We want to do. We're just going to fix ourselves, and we're just going to be more like God in our own power. And that's so far away from what God wants. It was said, being a Christian doesn't mean I won't fall. It means Jesus will catch me when I do. My last thought is this, that the Holy Spirit pours out God's love into our hearts. See, God sent the Holy Spirit to be his presence in our lives in order that we may be his servants and ambassadors to the world. We see in verse 5, go back up a few, Romans 5, verse 5 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Listen, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit then. That's when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Filled with power and overflowing with God's love and peace. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some of us are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. I'm not going to get off track because I'm losing time here. But there are a lot of other churches talking about some other baptism. Listen, the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens when you are born again. Now listen, God gets all of you when you surrender all of you to the Spirit of God. That's when you begin to realize your spiritual gifts and you begin to live and work in them. See, we're baptized by the Holy Ghost into God's family. We're born again, children of the Heavenly Father. We're filled, we're sealed, and we're set apart by the Holy Spirit. He floods us with God's love. And we become conduits of his love and his grace to other people. It's amazing. We're born again. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And we are different people. We are changed. We are new. We're new creations. And we have to learn by God's word, by the power of the Holy Spirit living us, by our prayer life with God, that communication, how to live this new life. God's grace is so sweet. Listen, we're born again. God's grace is so sweet, we were not resisted. His love is so pure. We discover that what it means to be accepted unconditionally. There's some of us who are born again, and we think we're all that. And fries and a shake, too. Listen, you're a sinner saved by grace. And you're only saved because God saves us unconditionally. The love of Christ that abides in us is a continuous flowing fountain. Oh, listen, the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life all the time, every day, day and night. He wants to transform you, but not only transform you. He wants it that when you go to work tomorrow, when you are with your family, he wants you to live in such a way that others see Christ living in you. Because there's something different about you. When is the last time that somebody at work told you there's just something different about you? I can't put my finger on it, but there's something different about you. You know what it is? Christian, if they're pointing to you, you're showing Christ living through you. That's what's different. Don't tell them you're a good Baptist. Tell them, well, I hope it's Jesus living through me. Love of Christ that abides in us is that continuous flowing fountain. His love is refreshing to us. His mercies are new every day. Our lives are not stagnant. Rather, they're this dynamic because we're encountering life at full pace. Our lives are dynamic. And our life experiences, we need God's grace and love to sustain us, to move us forward in our situations. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us, to empower us, and continuously give us wisdom. And with that wisdom will come discernment to do God's will regardless of what situation we're facing. Listen, because the flesh will want to do something different. What a pleasure to live in the Spirit's power each day. What a horrible mess we create when we do not allow the Holy Spirit to live in us at full pace. We can mess some stuff up, Christians. We can blow it. Why? Because we've told the Holy Spirit to take a step back. I've got control. Everything looks good right now. But the storms are coming, and you're not qualified to operate the ship. Only God is. What a pleasure to live in the Spirit's power. Today we know Jesus as Savior. Do you know Jesus as Savior? Have you truly put your faith in Him? Or have you done just churchy stuff? Have you done religious stuff from some denomination that calls itself Christian? And maybe you have never, by an intentional choice of your will, accepted the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Maybe today that's where you need to be, accepting Jesus as your Savior. Maybe today, Christian, you hear all these things about that we've read. Boy, we dug a little deep, and I tried to hurry as fast as I could. But it's so rich and it's so good about the faith. Why? We have faith because of we have grace of God. It opens so much for us. Maybe you realize that you've been pretty stagnant in your life. The Holy Spirit has not been bubbling and flowing in your life. You realize that you've just kind of been going through the motions. You love God. You love Jesus. You know that you're saved. But there's been no power. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so that we can live in power. If we're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're just fumbling our way through life every day. Just fumbling. And the hot topic in our prayer life is, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. It should be a part, but we should be praying for outside, for family, for people we work with, just for the Holy Spirit to reach in their life. What about it, Christian? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today and God's love is flowing through you as a conduit to others? Are you living that life that God has called you to live? Or do you find yourself just getting by day? Today can be the day that you just, how do I do that, Brother Kevin? I don't understand. Listen, God says this, submit yourself to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. In other words, submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and just ask Him, Lord, fill me fresh and anew today with Your Spirit. And do it every day because we leak. We're like an old rust bucket. We leak. We come in contact with situations and we leak. God, would You fill me fresh and anew today? I need a fresh outpouring of Your Holy Spirit in my life. Listen, you want to live the victorious Christian life? That's the only way you can do it. Don't try to do it on your own. You're going to make a mess of things. Victorious Christian life, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father God, these are Your people. God, You have some children today who are wallowing in sin. God, You have some children today who are trying to fix themselves because they've been wounded as a child, wounded in relationships, wounded somewhere along. And God, they have been bandaging and self-medicating. They've just been doing all sorts of things so they don't feel the pain. And God, You are wanting to get into that secret place. God, You are wanting to get beyond that bandage to heal their wound. Father, I pray today that You begin to work in that. And God, we even offer ministry for them, Lord, to help get them through that recovery time. And Father, I pray today that You just be with those who are lost, who do not know You today. God, they hear a message like this and they realize that they've done religious stuff. God, maybe they've had some religious experience as a child, but they are not saved. They know today if they died that heaven would not be their home, or they're guessing. And Father, I pray today they give their lives to you. Fully and completely, in Christ's name, amen.